Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Waiver Wire Week 16. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today it's Monday, and you know what that means. It's the waiver wire time. For those of you who have lived to fight another week, congratulations. For those of you who found their teams flaming out in round one of the playoffs, you got to the playoffs. That's the goal. Anything can happen after that, so good season to you. But for those still fighting for that championship, and I know most of you are, if you're listening to this show, we're going to help you add those names. Because if you can believe it, there are still names to add to help me do it. D-Bro, Derek Brown, the king of bros, the fantasy bro, of course, is always here every single Monday. And our good friend is back. Corey Bushland returns from the Fantasy Stock Exchange. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Football Stock. And gentlemen, let's start with our sleeper waiver wire ad of the week.
Top waiver pickups.
Tyler Allgeier, yes, everything old is new again. Remember when we talked about Tyler Allgeier at the beginning of the year as a guy who could work his way into the backfield? Well, if Desmond Ridder's only going to throw for 97 yards, I'm not bitter. If that's going to happen, then obviously Tyler Allgeier is going to be running for a whole lot more. No, it's not Cordarrelle Patterson's backfield. It belongs to Tyler Allgeier, and he's just 41% rostered in sleeper leagues. How that's the case, I'll never know. But that is where we stand. And Corey, he is your number one, too. So let's talk more about Tyler Allgeier, because in the game coming up this week, too, looks to be some cold weather, lots of running the football, lots of under against a team that's also, not doing too great on the offensive side of things here when you're looking ahead to the matchup that they've got this week with the Baltimore Ravens. So do you think Tyler Allgeier is in a good spot this week? And is it just time to empty the clip, as Derek Brown likes to say?
The remaining fab that a lot of people are going to have are going to be service of guys like this. Like if you lost Jonathan Taylor this week, you're probably going after, you know, one of these top running backs to, you know, help out your running back position or maybe one of your flexes or something like that. And Allgeier's consistently been just an efficient runner all year. He's a top 20 graded running back on PFF right now. From a dynasty perspective, he was my favorite sleeper running back during rookie drafts and he fell to the fifth round. But like the big development that we have with Tyler Allgeier is that Caleb Huntley left early in this game. And if he's going to be out going forward, then this makes a three-man backfield sneakily 20 to 40% of the snaps for Caleb Huntley into a two-man backfield. And it does look like with Desmond Ridder this past week, they ran more of a traditional offense. 26 pass attempts isn't a lot, but it's actually on the upper end of the scale for what Marcus Mariota was throwing previous. I think the emphasis of the offense is going to be running the ball through Allgeier and through Cordarrelle Patterson, not as much through Ridder as the quarterback, as Mariota was very involved in that phase. So yeah, Allgeier to me, not a great matchup. The Ravens coming into this week were allowing like 3.7 yards per carry to running backs on the season. So they were not, you know, a friendly matchup by any means, but if he's going to get 15 to 20 carries, he's probably worthy of a, you know, a low end flex play at the very least.
Now, Corey kind of buried the lead there a little bit. Jonathan Taylor, probably not back this year. We're looking high ankle sprain. So he is done. So if you still had Jonathan Taylor in the playoffs, I'm going to ask you how that happened, but I'm also going to tell you, I'm sorry. And the guy that you have on the top of your list at running back this week in week 16, Derek Brown, is indeed an Indianapolis Colt. Who is he?
I didn't think we'd get here, guys, but we have arrived. Zach Moss is my pickup, my top guy of the week. And this comes down to, yes, the Jonathan Taylor news, but Zach Moss got 24 opportunities on the ground, 81 rushing yards. Didn't factor in the passing game, but yeah, he's my top guy because he played 67% of the snaps, and his matchups upcoming are fantastic. And now we're hearing JT's probably going to be out for the rest of the season with the ankle sprain. He gets the Chargers, the Giants, and the Texans. I mean, what else do we need to say here? Like, that's a glorious, glorious schedule moving forward. So, as bad as the Colts' offense has been, and it's been pretty bad, if we're looking at a running back that's going to face those three teams for the rest of the season, and he's going to get 20 opportunities per game, I mean, Zach Moss is, I mean, I don't know if you got anything left in the clip, but, just give whatever you got.
Well, I mean, look, I understand why he got so much work in that game on Saturday, too, because you're trying to run out clock. That's what you're trying to do. And Zach Moss is probably the better guy to do that. That being said, why not Deion Jackson for those people who are going to ask that question here at the top?
I mean, Deion Jackson's my number two. I mean, honestly, I think you pick up both. You know,
Well, there you go. And just in case you're wondering at home, 5% roster for Zach Moss, 9% for Deion Jackson. So the chances are they're available in your league. Just saying that is a good chance. Go ahead, D. Talk about Deion Jackson, too.
Yeah, I mean, really, this comes down to with Jeff Saturday. We know that he wants to run the ball. They've been religious in that. And I think this could be an easy, like, 50-50 split, depending on how game scripts go for these two backs. So I think they're both worth a pickup. I mean, honestly, we could be looking at both of these guys as high-end RB3s, low-end RB2s, depending on how much work they get and who gets in the end zone that week. But, I mean, if you're looking at efficiency metrics, neither one of them is really impressive. I mean, Deion Jackson is 68th out of 77 running backs in yards after contact per attempt amongst all of guys with 25 or more carries, so not fantastic. And if Zach Moss qualified, he'd be even lower. So we're just chasing volume and matchups here.
Okay, you made a good point, too. Some of these matchups upcoming, very good. I know your number two, Corey, going into the week was also Zach Moss. That was D-Bro's number one. So what's your take on Zach Moss? Is he a guy, I understand you wanted to pick him up, is he a guy worthy of starting, in your opinion? What's that circumstance where you have to start him? I know it's early looking ahead to the ranks and where we are, but does he have flex appeal at least for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really all going to depend where your team is at. If you lost Jonathan Taylor and you need to put somebody into your lineup, I think Moss is the guy that I lean. He saw, like you said, 31 snaps in the second half to Deion Jackson's 9. So it looks like he was the guy to try and milk the clock. He's the bigger running back. My only concern for Zach Moss is that they'll probably activate Jordan Wilkins from the practice squad. And although he isn't much, neither are these other two guys. And maybe this becomes more of a three-man committee, and the 24 carries that Moss saw, I think, was more of a product of game script, kind of a mid-game adjustment with Jonathan Taylor going down and the fact that they were leading by 33 points at the half. So this is a bad offense. I think more likely Deion Jackson is the guy, if they get in a negative game script against the Chargers, who we know can put up points, is the guy that's involved. So my advice would be, unless you absolutely need to start somebody, I would rather roster like a high-end handcuff on your bench. Unless these guys are absolutely going to your lineup, because I don't think there's a huge, you know, huge upside for them rest of season unless they're going into your lineup immediately in week 16.
All right, Corey, let's stick with you. Give me your third RB to add in week 16.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's all going to depend where your team is, but Khalil Herbert to me is the third add at running back for me, because assuming you guys, maybe you were on bye this week, or maybe you just got a big win or whatever, you probably have some empty bench spots in terms of like guys that you're rostering that might not see your lineup for the final 2 weeks leading into the championship. And to me, if you're rostering, let's say, a Michael Gallup, who's like your seventh receiver and is not going to see your lineup in like a two wide receiver, two flex league, then you can drop a guy like Michael Gallup for, you know, let's say Khalil Herbert, who is my third add. And this one's kind of interesting for those of you guys that are looking for upside rather than an every week starter or a spot starter, because Herbert is eligible to return from IR this week, and he remains one of the best handcuffs in fantasy football. His value when Montgomery is out of the lineup is as good as, you know, a Tony Pollard, an AJ Dillon, a Kareem Hunt, guys that we know are going to get RB1 workloads if their starter is out. So if you have an open bench spot and you're not intending to use Chris Moore, whoever's in your empty bench spot right now, for the rest of the season, you never know. It's fantasy football, right? Montgomery could get injured midweek in practice. He could get injured in week 16, and you might have a guy that could help you win a championship in week 17. So for me, it's just kind of like a lotto ticket ad, and he's available because he was on IR in 40% of leagues.
I'll tell you what, too. There's going to be a lot of weather potentially in that game with Chicago and Buffalo. We're already hearing that. If so, it's going to be a lot of attempts. You know, never know what happens. So you add a guy like Khalil Herbert. If something happens in Montgomery, next thing you know, in that championship week, you've got a number one type running back, low-end RB1 potentially. Great ad. Love that. Herbert still on my IR in a ton of leagues, just waiting to get activated. All right, D-Bro, let's close it out here at RB. Who's the third guy on your list for week 16 you want to add?
He's been on this list a bunch, and that's because he's explosive and he's talented. Jalen Warren, similar reasons to what Corey was talking about, Khalil Herbert, except, you know, we know that Jalen Warren, one, is healthy, and two, the matchup is fantastic this week, but he's been one of the most efficient runners in the entire NFL. He's only 24% rostered on Sleeper. If he's out there in your league, it's not going to take much to get him. But the high upside of if anything happened to Najee is there, as well as we're looking at a running back that got 34% of the snaps, 12 opportunities last week, got in the end zone. And that type of efficiency on a low workload is something we've seen time and time again from Jalen Warren. I mean, the guy can rip off big runs. He gets into like the 10 to 14 opportunity range. Then if he gets in the end zone, we're talking about a guy that could be a high-end RB3, really strong flex play. They get the Raiders this week. And I mean, I think Jalen Warren is a, if you're desperate for flex plays, I think that he's in that conversation against the Raiders for a running back that's third and PFF's elusive rating. So Warren is the guy that I'd be putting at number three.
So those are the guys' top available RBs to add. If you want to see the top available guys in your league, well, use the top available tool at My Playbook, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Sync your leagues today or download the app. It's free. And check out the top available tool. That'll help you find the best guy in your league to add to your roster to get that championship. D-Bro, any other guys worth adding? I can't believe Jerick McKinnon is only 52% rostered on Sleeper still. That was absurd. I saw that number. Yes, I did have Jerick McKinnon active and flex against Andy Behrens. And yes, I did beat Andy Behrens. Moving on to the next round. Sorry, Andy, you're my boy. I love you, Blue. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Jerick McKinnon, how is he still available in half a leagues, D?
I have no clue. I mean, I don't understand what this guy has to do. Like, he has all the pass game usage for Kansas City. He's exploded in, what, like, basically the last 2-3 games?
And KC ain't putting people away. So, no. Therefore, it's not like they're just running out of clock. So, McKinnon has more value than most. Your thoughts on McKinnon, too, Corey? I want to get your take. Is that a surprising number to you that he was still available in that many leagues?
Yeah, I mean, we know that Pacheco's appeal was, you know, the Kansas City lead back. And it seems like anytime we get a new lead back in Kansas City, people, you know, it was causing people to draft Ronald Jones this year. Like, the Kansas City appeal is real. So the fact that McKinnon's not, you know, more widely rostered is a little surprising, especially considering what he did last week, too.
I think Pacheco would have more appeal if they would have leads that were comfortable. I mean, geez, yeah. Kansas City, can you put anybody away? Where's the killer instinct? Come on, let's go. Anybody else you want to talk about here, D-Bro, real quick before we move on?
I mean, really, a lot of it just kind of depends on your waiver wire. There's a few other guys floating out there. I know Corey's got a name he wants to bring up for at least another kind of handcuff guy.
All right, let's talk about that name. It's Jamichael Hasty, 11% rostered on Sleeper. Corey, why?
Well, for starters, I like kind of back to the Herbert point. If you got an empty bench spot, you're better off rostering a guy like Hasty to begin with. And Travis Etienne was, you know, he was out for a bit of the fourth quarter, I believe, dealing with an ankle injury. And like medically speaking, ankles can swell up as the week goes along. So maybe he misses some practice. Maybe Hasty gets you a spot start in week 16. So definitely a name to keep an eye on, at least if we see that, you know, Wednesday comes and Etienne isn't practicing with like an ankle injury or something like that.
Yeah, KG ad. All right, let's look at the wide receivers for this week. D-Bro, why don't you kick things off? Who's your number one sleeper waiver wire wide receiver ad for week 16? That's a lot of alliteration. I like it.
I mean, well, we're about to talk about a name that has been mentioned on this podcast a few different times, depending what part of the season you've been tuning in. Treylon Burks, I don't understand why he's at 50%. Like, I'm guessing a lot of that has to come down to like roster crunches and people making decisions on, okay, I need somebody to start this week, so they're cutting him loose to the waiver wire. But if he's out there in your league, you got to pick him up. Like, I know that he's missed the last few games dealing with the concussion, but this is a guy we're talking about as a plug-and-play wide receiver three. He's going to garner a lot of target volume in the Tennessee Titans passing offense. He's 14th in yards per route run, so the talent is real. The remaining schedule, they get the Houston Texans, which is not a scary pass defense. The fact is you just don't hear about it because their run defense is even worse than their secondary. Dallas, after that, their secondary is decimated outside of Trevion Diggs. And then if you're playing in week 18, Jacksonville Jaguars, they can't guard anybody. We just saw that again this week. So Burks would be the priority ad for me if he's out there in your league. But I understand he's sitting close to the 50%, so maybe he's not.
All right. Corey, who's your number one wide receiver to add in week 16?
Yeah, I would echo the same sentiments. Treylon Burks definitely needs to be rostered because he's going to be a top 36 receiver probably in my weekly rankings this week. But Marquise Goodwin's actually my top guy that's, you know, lesser owned. We got word, you know, Thursday night that Lockett injured his finger. He's probably going to be out for a few games, if not the rest of the fantasy football season, if you guys only go to week 17 in general. Kansas City is a top 10 matchup this week that he has in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. And Marquise Goodwin has consistently been operating as the wide receiver three when Lockett and Metcalf have been out there. And he has, you know, big play appeal. He's like Olympic speed, as we know. Red zone appeal. He's actually scored a couple touchdowns, had a couple multi-touchdown games, I think, this year as well. So for those of you guys that are in need of a spot start in your flex, you could definitely do worse. Seattle probably playing from behind against Kansas City, although, you know, with the way Kansas City's been playing, maybe they're not. Who knows? But I think Goodwin's a good guy to throw into your flex right off the wire this week.
Now, if you've got multiple teams in the playoffs, use the free agent finder, because that's a great tool at My Playbook, too, where you can see in all your leagues which players are available if, like, Treylon Burks is out there or if Goodwin's out there. You could use the free agent finder. You can use the top available tool. Both of those are free, by the way, at fantasybros.com/myplaybook. Again, download the app. Let's go. 6% roster for Goodwin. So, spoiler alert, he's available in your league, okay? All right, let's get to the next guy. And you both have the same number two going into this week, Elijah Moore, who was our number one sleeper waiver wire ad last week. We were so excited. Then Zach Wilson showed up in the town. And then, well, we all know the rest of that story. And don't anybody tell me about Zach Wilson's stats, because if you watch the game, it was an ugly quarterback performance. So I don't want to hear you go back into your caves, go back into your holes. Don't bring me that noise. We can only hope that another couple days here, Mike White is healthy enough to go against the Jags this week. But I don't know if it's going to matter because the Jags look pretty good. Remember when I said the Jags are going to beat the Cowboys? Remember that? That was fun. All right. So let's go. Corey, you're the guest. So tell me why Elijah Moore should be back in our good graces again for week 16.
I guess I'm going to have to go back into my cave because I am kind of like a borderline Zach
Wilson. No. Now D-Bro gets to go. D-Bro, why Elijah Moore?
Well, look, this is a safe space, okay? So we got to give Corey some praise for
all right, Corey, go
admitting
ahead.
The fandom. I mean, I'm going to turn this back to him, Joe.
Like, Corey, go ahead. Sorry, it's late in the year. I'm salty.
The appeal is Elijah Moore is a good player, obviously. He has 6 targets, 10 targets, and 7 targets the last 3 weeks. He's finally back up to playing and running routes for this team when he was in the, you know, Brandon Ayuk caliber doghouse from last year. And this is the 6th best matchup for wide receivers against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night. So that's the appeal. Again, Zach Wilson looked a little better against the Lions by Zach Wilson's standards because he didn't look absolutely terrible like he did against the Patriots twice.
By Zach Wilson's standards. By Zach Wilson's standards, I'm Brad Pitt. Okay? Yeah. That's my Zach Wilson standards.
Yeah.
D-Bro,
for sure.
Look,
Yesterday, though, for what it's worth, it was just the 2nd time he's played a non-top 10 defense in the NFL. So maybe going against the Jags, who are even worse defense than the way that the Lions have been playing recently, Elijah Moore, in theory, is probably better off this week versus with Zach Wilson than he has been the rest of the season with Zach Wilson. But we do hope, of course, Mike White or Joe Flacco is starting on Thursday night.
I'm going to be at Mike White's house. I'm going to try to, you know, help him out, like whatever rehab he needs. That's what I'm going to be doing the next couple of days. I'm going to find out where Mike White lives. All right, D-Bro, let's talk about Elijah Moore and your take here. 38% rostered. So clearly he was added a lot. And my guess is he was also dropped a lot last minute because a lot of people just didn't want to go there. And I don't blame them. So why should we learn to love again for week 16?
Please equip Mike White with a flak jacket, super glue.
Put him in bubble wrap,
duct
please.
Tape. I mean, just put him back in the gun, 7-step drops, like extra blockers around him, all the 12 personnel and heavy personnel we can get. I just want Mike White back, man. I want catchable targets for Elijah Moore. But the good things in Elijah Moore's pocket are that Jacksonville is a fantastic matchup this week. So even if you're looking at him as just being a 1 week guy to plug into your flex, put you over the top, even if Mike White is out, he's at a 20% target share over the last 2 weeks, full-time player. In week 15, the only person on the Jets roster that had played more snaps, ran more routes than Elijah Moore was Garrett Wilson. So we know the matchup is there. We just need catchable targets. Please, Mike White, come back.
All right, Corey, let's get to you. Your number three wide receiver. Who is it this week for week 16?
The last thing on Elijah Moore real quick is that on a short week, Corey Davis probably won't be back. And Denzel Mims also got injured in that game too. So the full-time player aspect probably even more to the forefront for Elijah Moore. But my number three guy, I mean, I don't love chasing big performances, but KJ Osborne's is kind of notable just because of how good he was. 16 targets doesn't just happen for everyday waiver wire wide receivers. Maybe this will result in some more playing time, some more looks from Kirk Cousins, the offensive coordinator, maybe drawing up some more plays. The big performance is notable. So we also have the Giants this week, who are 13th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. So I think you could throw them into your lineup. You could definitely do worse. I would, you know, personally rather Elijah Moore or Marquise Goodwin if I was choosing this week. But KJ Osborne, also not a terrible option if you guys suffered some injuries or something.
KJ Osborne, 17% rostered. I'll tell you low-key, too. I love him going into next year. If you're looking at, like, buy-low dynasty guys or something like that, Adam Thielen's career is winding down. KJ Osborne has a lot of opportunity potentially going forward. I was hoping it was going to be this year. Not so much, but certainly in this game, you got reminded of it. And like the dude, if you throw the ball to that guy, he's catching it. I don't know. I mean, if you look at the stats and I'll look at the targets and the receptions, like he just needs the opportunity. That's all the guy needs. Debro, who's number three on your wide receiver list for week 16?
My number three guy is a guy that exploded this last week, Rashid Shaheed. He's only rostered in 2% of it is 2% of sleeper leagues. I think, you know, min fab bid probably gets him on your team at 2%, whatever you got left. This is a guy that every time he's gotten opportunities this year, he's created big plays. The problem is just getting the full time playing time and getting targets. And now he's doing both of those things. Week 15 saw a 21% target share. And yes, I know it's only four targets, but the Saints didn't throw the ball much. And he turned that into 95 receiving yards and a score. He's been efficient. And I know it's a really, really small sample size. Like we're talking 15 targets here. But still, he's 15th in yards per route run amongst all wide receivers with at least 15 targets this year. It's notable, the speed, the ability downfield, the big play ability. And in week 15, he led the team in snaps and routes. Yes, he ran more routes and played more snaps than even Chris Olave. So I love his matchup this week. He gets Cleveland Browns, which are giving up the fifth most fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers over the last six games. So definitely a guy that I think you could plug into your flex.
Yeah, just 2% rostered. So once again, he's available. Corey, back to you. Who's your number four guy? And this was a player that I was high on coming into the year, and he's just been destroyed by injuries time and time again. Hunter Renfrow. Let's talk more about him and what he could possibly salvage here at the end as we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about this from like best ball mania standpoint, because I'm sure a lot of Hunter Renfrow teams are dead. But if you snuck one through, then it's possible that this guy could actually repay you. He only ran, you know, just over half the team's routes in his first game back off of IR this week. That's typical for wide receivers coming off of IR. We don't usually see them come back into their full workloads, their full roles. Mac Hollins has kind of been operating as the opposite of Devontae Adams' number two receiver in terms of usage pretty much ever since Renfrow's been out. But I think this week we're probably going to see him get back to, you know, the full workload that we saw. And Waller being back also helps this offense in general. So he didn't get any worse at football after his breakout in 2021. He's just been really, really banged up this year, which is fortunate. And Devontae Adams obviously is taking a big target share away from him that he didn't have last year. I think he's worth a speculative add. If you got an extra roster spot, you know, week 16, week 17, he has, you know, not the easiest matchups in the world against Pittsburgh and San Francisco, but he's definitely worth an add, I think.
35% rostered on Sleeper. So I'm actually surprised it's even that much, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, because I know people have IR spots, but still at a certain point, you needed more space on the IR. Debro, who's your fourth and final wide receiver to add in week 16?
It's Chris Moore. I was surprised by this number, guys. He's only rostered in 9% of Sleeper leagues. Like, after the week that he had last week, I was really surprised with that. I know that he had a dud in week 15, but we're still talking about a guy that over the last two games has a 35% target share. And I get that that's very fragile in the sense that if Brandon Cooks or Nico Collins or both of them come back this week, he's probably goes back into the abyss. But I mean, at this point of the season, we're talking about a lot of these guys, like they have nagging injuries. They've been dealing with stuff. Teams are just shutting guys down. We're seeing that with Jonathan Taylor. I'm not saying that we can't see that with Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins. And if that's the case, Chris Moore is going to continue to get a ton of targets. And he gets Tennessee this week, which we know that Tennessee secondary cannot stop anybody. I mean, they're giving up the second most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this year. So as gross as it is, Chris Moore is my number four guy.
There you go. All right. Don't forget, everybody, we got a Christian Watson jersey to give away to you. By the way, plus 140 tonight, Monday Night Football, anytime touchdown score. Lock it in. Go. Love put it. Your wager at bettingpros.com. But anyway, in the meantime, we can give you an autographed jersey. Thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. What you got to do is go leave a review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. Go to Apple Podcasts. Say, I love Fantasy Pros. I won so many championships. It's the best hour of my day. Whatever you want to say. I'm just throwing some things out there. But I want you to use your own words and go win that jersey. Again, you get one entry if you do that. Go to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest for the details. And don't forget, if you subscribe to us over on the Twitter machine, over on Instagram and the TikTok where Andrew Erickson is famous, you get more entries into the contest. So go do all four. Go win yourself a Christian Watson jersey for the holidays. Only a couple of days left, too. It's ending in December. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about streaming QBs. Corey, who is the streaming QB for you in week 16?
The Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. He's kind of been a huge product of the system. Like, he's not throwing a ton of pass attempts. He's throwing under 30 pass attempts in both games that he started. He's kind of being carried by the Yak Bros, Kittle, CMC, Ayuk. All he has to do is get it in their hands, and they kind of make everything else happen. If Debo was on the field, it would be even more so being carried by those guys. But even though Washington this week is a tough pass rush, they're, you know, relatively exploitable to the passing game. And they're a top half of the league matchup. And then he has an absolute cupcake in week 17 against the Raiders, who are the second, you know, best matchup for fantasy quarterback. Yeah. So, yeah, I if you lost, maybe Mike White was the streaming quarterback you were going with, and now he's dealing with an injury, you could pivot pretty easily to Brock Purdy, in my opinion.
There you go. 11% rostered. Is this already the greatest career for a Mr. Irrelevant? Have we hit that with Brock Purdy?
No, Buccaneer great. Ryan Succop was a Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, that's right. Ryan Succop was too. You're right. Of course, leave it to the Bucks guy to remind me about
leave
Ryan
it to the
Succop.
Bucks guy.
D-Bro, who's the streaming QB this week in week 16 for you?
Just staying on the gravy train, baby. It hasn't let us down yet. No, it hasn't. Vikings, who they're playing this week. Oh, it's Daniel Jones, baby. He's only rostered in 45% of sleeper leagues, and I mean, Minnesota's just been giving to all things receivers, all things quarterbacks, all year. 12th in passing touchdowns allowed, second most passing yards, and they're 7th in fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks. So Danny Dimes, if he's out there, I think that he could walk into a top 12 week for you.
To that point, Darius Slayton is just 41% roster on sleeper leagues. Just want you to know, just in case.
Well, and if we're going to go really deep down the rabbit hole, somebody that we got added to the waiver wire rankings on Fantasy Pros, again, going back to wide receivers, Isaiah Hodgins is out there in deep
Hodgins,
leagues if you need somebody.
You know, Hodgins, I've watched a lot of him this year. He's got a little something there.
Well, really
he's played well.
Really
pretty well. Yeah. All right, let's get to the tight ends this week here. And let's talk about the guys you want to stream and D-Bro. You're just gonna not let this one die in the vine. You're talking about, like, this is not even run into the ground. It's like buried subterranean right now. But go ahead, let's talk more about your tight end to stream this week.
Bob Tonyan. I understand he hasn't done a whole lot. And look, if you've gotten to this point of the season and you're looking for a tight end on the waiver wire, this is where you're searching at, people, because there's not these glorious, beautiful names sitting out on the waiver wire. Every single one of these tight ends, and I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. They all have ugly resumes. Every one of them, you could be like, well, they sucked in that week. They're good that week, but they're terrible, 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 zero, zero, zeros. And that's every one of these guys you're like looking to plug and play. The reason I'm going with Bob Tonyan is but he gets Miami this week. Miami Dolphins cannot stop anything versus tight ends. They're 31st in catch rate, 26th in receiving yards per game, 30th in fantasy points per game allowed at the position. We just saw what Dawson Knox did versus them. I mean, you could just go through the game logs, people. All these kind of irrelevant tight ends that are getting tons of fantasy points. So, yeah, I think Bob Tonyan is definitely somebody you need to pick up and you could stream this week.
All right. How about you, Corey? Who is the guy at tight end you want to stream in week 16?
Yeah, we need to forever retire the phrase, like, he can be a top 10 tight end this year, because my guy, Juwan Johnson, 16% rostered, is the tight end 9 in PPR this year.
And without playing the last couple of weeks, too.
Tight end 7 in standard this year, because he just is a touchdown machine, and Dalton kind of trusts him. The Browns, as we kind of talked about already, are suspect defense against the pass and the run. They're not that great of a defense overall, so not a terrible spot if you maybe you don't trust Pat Freiermuth anymore because he had a zero this past week or something. I wouldn't blame you for throwing Juwan Johnson into your lineup.
Freiermuth, I don't think, was healthy. I think that was a you know, one of those situations we got into with a start was dangerous because of that. I'm going to throw this out there, boys. With the, again, there's a lot of weird Midwestern weather going through and a lot of cold and stuff like that, some snow in some spots. Again, I don't want to hype the weather thing because that got way too overhyped last week and a lot of people sat Jalen Waddle and did stupid things like that. But the Cleveland game, when they're hosting the Saints, if this turns out to be another game where Taysom Hill gets a lot of action, boys, he's 37% rostered in sleeper leagues. If he qualifies a tight end, don't you think this could be a lot more running the football potentially? Could Taysom Hill get a lot more work?
Yeah. No, I love that call. I love that call. I wrote him up in the waiver wire article that's live on Fantasy Pros right now. I mean, I know that we talked about Jeff Driskel and we've talked about all these guys that are playing the hybrid roles and stuff like that. And I haven't been much on the Taysom train.
No, me neither.
What we missed also last week, too, is that with Mark Ingram out, we're all like, oh, Alvin Kamara is going to get like an 80% opportunity share. He's going to play all the snaps, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that is true. But we also see more Taysom time. Like, the replacement for Ingram is more Taysom Hill usage. And if he's going to throw, I mean, he threw that beautiful deep bomb to Raheed Sheed this week. I mean, we're talking about if he's going to get 5 to 10 carries on the ground, red zone work, a few passing attempts per
like,
game.
He's tight end three then if he gets any of that. Yep. Corey, do you agree that, like, I've been very, look, anyone who listens to the show knows that I'm not chasing Taysom Hill weeks, but this one in particular feels like it could shape up in that direction.
Yeah, don't forget about the ghost of David Johnson getting carries as well. I didn't even know that guy was still in the NFL
until Christmas
I
thought time.
They were like, D. Johnson. Yeah. I was like, is D'Ernest Johnson on the Saints now? And I was like, there's no way that David Johnson's getting carries in the year 2022.
That'll be a Saints fun fan, one where we see, you're like, remember when he played for the Saints? You know, you're like, oh, right, that one game.
Yeah.
I remember, trust me, as a Saints fan, I was watching the game, and as soon as he put the ball on the turf, I'm like, where's the remote? I'm going to hate toss it. I was freaking out.
All right, everybody. Don't forget, we also got a chance for you over at Fantasy Pros to get your feedback. FantasyPros.com/survey, and you get a chance to win more prizes outside of the Christian Watson jersey. So if you give your feedback of the podcast at FantasyPros.com/survey, everyone who responds will be entered to win a giveaway raffle drawing. You know we like to give away free stuff here, and the prizes will include a year of premium subscriptions to Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, along with some gift cards to our online store. So again, fantasypros.com/survey. Let your voice be heard, especially if it's positive. You know, far too many people like, I'm unhappy with something. I'm going to admit, if you like something, say that you like it. There's nothing wrong with that. So go be positive. Go take the survey, fantasypros.com/survey. And more importantly, go win yourself some free stuff. I love free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. Let's talk about some free defenses this week. Corey, who is your streaming D for week 16 with the playoffs on the line?
I mean, it kind of like a gravy train thing, just like the Vikings call it. The Colts are a gravy train defense. Like, you play against the Colts and they're right up there with the Texans as one of the most favorable matchups for fantasy defenses. They play the Chargers this week. The Chargers have some playmakers on their defense that can make some things happen. So I think it's a pretty easy call there. They're like sub 20% owned in most people's leagues. So I think you could easily just grab the Chargers, play against the Colts. They showed last week that even if they get up to a huge lead as a result of special teams and defensive touchdowns, that they still can't score.
Limited without Jonathan Taylor, too. That's for sure. That Colts offense. All right, D-Bro, who's your streaming defense for week 16?
Pittsburgh Steelers. You're looking at Pittsburgh over the last few weeks. Since TJ Watt has been back, they're 9th in pressure rate, they're 9th in total yards per game allowed, and 11th in EPA per play. So you tell me Pittsburgh is going to get after the quarterback. They're doing it a lot more religiously now with Watt in the lineup. Now they get the Raiders, and we've seen Derek Carr just over time fall apart. Like, if Devontae Adams is not open down the field and he's got pressure in his face, he's just going to fall over. So, yeah, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, here's our sleeper waiver wire ads of the week. Our top five, D-Bro, kick us off. Who's 1 through 5, the guys you want to add if you don't have Fab and you have waiver priority?
Treylon Burks would be the number one guy. You can make a good case for Zach Moss being right there with him, but it's Treylon Burks, Zach Moss, Elijah Moore, Deion Jackson, and either, depending on how the news shakes out this week, it's either Raheed Shaheed or Chris Moore rounding out the top five.
Okay, Corey, who is your top five for week 16?
Algier and Moss kind of stand alone as like 1-2 for me, and kind of whatever order you prefer. Then Khalil Herbert, like I said, if you're in a stash position, Marquise Goodwin, Elijah Moore, round out the 4 and 5. And then Deion Jackson probably right behind those guys at like 5.5.
Okay, let's play a little game real quick of the sleeper waiver wire drop or keep.
Keep or drop.
Let's talk about Greg Dulcich here. 41% roster. Derek Brown, can you cut ties with Greg Dulcich? Maybe play Taysom Hill instead this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's time to cut ties. I mean,
it's time. If you can't score against Arizona, then there's no hope for you after all.
Nope,
tight end.
No, nope. There was a Denver tight end that got into the end zone, but it was not sadly.
Let's
Greg
not talk
Dulcich.
About that. Corey, your thoughts about Greg Dulcich, keep or drop?
It really depends on Russ playing or not. I think if Russ plays, you can keep him and still use him as a top 15 option. But if Russ is out again, then get him off your roster.
You're going to love this. This next guy has higher roster percentage than Jerick McKinnon. It's Michael Gallup still.
Wow.
How in the hell is this a thing? 55% roster. Corey, please tell people they can drop him.
I kind of alluded to it already, but if you're in a position where you don't need to start Michael Gallup and you can pick up Khalil Herbert instead, then drop him. But if you need him as like your fourth or fifth receiver, I mean, I think Noah Brown's big game was a little lucky. Like, it could have very easily went to Michael Gallup, and we'd all be talking about Michael Gallup as one of the better ads this week. So I think just having pieces of the Cowboys offense isn't a terrible option if you need to throw somebody into your flex. So it really all depends where your team is at. If you're at a position where you need to start a guy like Michael Gallup, you can hold him. But if you don't need him, just drop him for a
backup. I got to be honest. I'd rather stream some of those Giants guys against the Vikings than play Michael Gallup this week. D-Bro, your thoughts?
Punt him. He can be punted the waiver wire. Gallup's done nothing all year. Like, absolutely nothing. I don't think that he's fully
That's
healthy.
What I'm saying.
He has not been effective. We'd have to go through the game logs. Off the top of my head, I don't think he's crossed 65 or 70 receiving yards the entire season. So it just comes down to he's not getting open. He's not been effective. So bye-bye. Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I mean, I'd be starting Isaiah Hodgins over Michael Gallup this week.
All right, last guy on the list here, Joshua Palmer, 52% rostered. With Keenan Allen back and Mike Williams back, look, I understand wanting to hold guys like this, and you can hold them still, but what do you think? You want to keep or drop Joshua Palmer, D-Bro?
I think depending on who you have on your roster, I have no problem getting rid of him. If you're looking at some of these other guys on the waiver wire, like, you're balancing, okay, do I keep Josh Palmer or do I pick up Zach Moss? Do I keep Josh Palmer or do I pick up Treylon Burks? I would be going with either Moss or Burks. So some of this depends on who's on the waiver wire for you. I think Zach Moss is going to be out there in almost every league, and I'd be going with Zach Moss over Palmer right now.
Corey, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm probably on the same page. Really depends on your wide receiver depth, how deep of a starting roster you have, because Palmer is still getting targets. And I mean, we saw with the Vikings receiver, sometimes the number three receiver has the best game against the Indianapolis Colts. They're kind of a dead team without, you know, much going on offense. I expect the Chargers to probably dominate time of possession in that game. And if you can kind of say that about a team, I still think Palmer's worth like a top 50 wide receiver play as a low end flex.
On to the listener mailbag, where we answer your questions, fantasypros.com/chat. It's free to join our Discord, but when premium membership is yours, you get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
This question is straight from D-Bro's AMA channel. Bro, what's going on with Mixon and Pirine? Mixon disappeared for most of that game. D-Bro, bro. What's going on with the Bengals? Is Pirine still, like I keep saying, a guy you really need to hold on to just in case?
I mean, what I was talking about at the beginning of the year has finally come to fruition.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon missed a little bit of time. Cincinnati finally woke up and said, wow, you know what? Samaje Perine's actually the more effective back in this backfield. We can't just totally just punt Joe Mixon to the bench, but they are mixing in Samaje Perine, and he is a much better rusher this year of the football than Joe Mixon, and it's not even close, man. So yeah, I mean, I think if you got Mixon, and that's why I didn't have him ranked as an RB1 this last week. I had him down in like the mid RB2 range, because this is what you're looking at. Samaje Perine is going to factor in more to this backfield, and the biggest allure of Joe Mixon all year has been snaps and weighted opportunities. So it's sad to say, but Samaje Perine is going to stay in this backfield, and he's going to factor in weekly.
Corey, in that game yesterday, there was one play in particular where it was a sweep to the right and Mixon just got to the outside and he could not get around anybody. And I was just watching that. To me, that was that moment I went, yeah, he just doesn't feel like the same guy that we saw 2 years ago. That's for sure. Even last year. What are your thoughts on Joe Mixon and Pirine and this Bengals running back by committee?
Yeah, it's funny because I believe the first time I came on the show, I talked about running backs to avoid in drafts, and I brought up these older running backs with a lot of touches under their belt, especially a guy like Mixon, who almost exclusively gets carries as his touches they're starting to catch up to these guys. And I mean, like, these are prototype dead zone running backs this time next year, in my opinion, where we're still projecting the old workload on these dudes. I think the way that the Bengals see it, it's Pirine is more effective on the ground. So there's no reason, really, especially if you're intending on going on a deep playoff run and you still believe Mixon is your best running back, to, you know, work him overly, you know, high like they've been doing all season, because he has been, you know, the 80%+ opportunity share running back for the last, you know, 6 years or 5 years that he's been in Cincinnati. So it makes a lot of sense why they're doing it. And I think it's probably going to continue.
All right, everybody. Corey, you are such a great analyst and a great sport. Very happy you joined us again here, especially at the end of the season. Follow Corey Bushland over on the Twitter machine at Fantasy Stock X and Fantasy, Football Stock. Football Stock is Corey's personal Twitter, but the Fantasy Stock Exchange where he works, Fantasy Stock X, EX, that's where you want to follow him too. Great stuff, Corey. As always, appreciate your time on the show. Everybody, go use the My Playbook tools to help get you those championships. And don't forget fantasypros.com/contest to get that Christian Watson jersey. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For D-Bro and Corey, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.